Welcome to the ANews podcast. This is episode 124. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on Anarchist News. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. What's new this week? An anarchist solution to global warming. From Aotearoa, New Zealand, Anti-Capitalist Green Front by Peter Gelderloos. I personally find expressions of vision, either fiction or nonfiction, to be quite brave. It's hard to be visionary and extremely easy to criticize other people's visions. Peter bases this vision on a sustainable society on his experience with DIY situations on various continents and some on anthropological research he's done for books like Anarchy Works, for example. So it's pretty grounded in the possible. In fact, that might be its weakness, that it errs a bit too much on the side of the realistic in anarchy's eternal war of idealism versus realism. Oh, just kidding, I guess. Unless I'm not. I can't even tell anymore. At any rate, this is a nonfiction piece that is better written and more evocative than most anarchist fiction. And while that, sadly, might not be saying much, it is saying something. Prod those imaginations, people. Prod them! There is an Anon comment, 1113, that is worth reading, too. And of course, the reminder that this piece is 10 years old and things have changed. Blah. Prodding is still good, though. Just saying.
We are the fire that will melt ice. Rest in power, Will Van Spronson. From PugetSoundAnarchist.org. By now, everyone will have heard about Will Van Spronson and his Pyrrhic Act. We get the hyperbolic wordplay in this title, as well as Jay-Z on Anarchy Radio, applauding the idealism of Will's act in a sea of defeatism. But the posse reactions are at least better than the people who complain that Will's actions did no good. Let's be frank, we don't know what will have the impact we want to have. If we knew, we would be living in a different world already. The relation of what might be called cause and what might be called effect is complicated, and really almost entirely unpredictable. Let us salute Will for doing something brave, remembering that our motivations are always mixed, purity is a Christian mindfuck, and we all make the decision every day to live, and we could choose something different.
On Willem Van Spronson's action against the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, but from Crime Think. A fairly straightforward comparison of the ICE concentration camps to the ones in Nazi Germany, and thus the context for Spronson's stand. This piece gives the full statement left by Spronson, which is a service. Quote, "Fascism serves the needs of the state, serves the needs of business, and at your expense. Who benefits? Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Tim Cook, Bill Gates, Betsy DeVos, George Soros, Donald Trump, and, need I go on, let me say it again, rich guys, who think you're not all that good, really dig government, everywhere, including communist governments, because they make the rules that make rich guys richer. Simple. Don't overthink it." Unquote. Spronson puts more fuel on some burning topics, and that can only benefit people who care about good questions.
Total Liberation, from Signal Fire. Unfortunately named, perhaps, but two words, and apparently unrelated to the Maoist one word, Signal Fire. This post on ANews is just the announcement of this new long article, but the full article has been posted on theanarchistlibrary.org. I did not read the whole thing, but what I read wasn't horrible, being critical of Marxism and Marxists, for example. Most of the people they quote are not anarchist, which is a bit odd, but Perlman is one notable exception, as is apparently Steve Best, an animal liberationist who wrote The Politics of Total Liberation. This is probably worth looking into more carefully for anyone who is interested in an anarchist manifesto-type writing from the UK. Quote, "Some would respond, of course, that this critique is unfair. After all, total liberation activism was previously defined as rejecting single-issue campaigning in favor of a much broader revolutionary focus. This is exactly what Best, for example, offers in his proposal for an alliance politics that builds links between different liberation struggles, drawing them into a resolutely anti-capitalist trajectory. But this isn't a new idea, and it doesn't overcome the problems inherent in activism. Already two decades ago, we saw exactly that being attempted by the anti-globalization movement of movements, which rarely seemed to gain an honest grasp of what the destruction of capitalism might look like. In the aforementioned pamphlet, Andrew X clarified that such engagement merely amounts to making links between activist groups, not beyond them. The shift remains quantitative rather than qualitative, a matter of strengthening different campaigns but not of exceeding a framework based around campaigning on issues in the first place. The challenge is that, besides simply increasing the personnel of the struggle, We need to find ways of deepening our engagement. Otherwise, total liberation cannot help but remain a kind of paradox, the revolutionary scope of its vision scraping hard against the reformism of its strategy, unquote. Also, total liberation has a Wikipedia entry, for any like me who didn't realize it's a brand name already.
Bastard series kicks off in Oakland this Saturday. An announcement that Rydra will be speaking in public in the Bay Area. Also, a complete yank of the name from the Bastard Conference, but fuck branding, right? All anarchists are bastards.
Italy, Operation Panico, call for international active solidarity. From anarchija.info. A call for solidarity and a review of the Panico case, which started in 2017 with a bomb at a fascist bookstore that cost a cop an eye and a hand, and resulted in the arrest of three anarchists on insufficient evidence and some accusations of criminal association for some others. Quote, this wants to be a call for international active solidarity, supporting prisoners and legal expenses, always besides our comrades in jail. Solidarity is a weapon, unquote.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, noise demonstrations fight corporation behind Mountain Valley Pipeline. From It's Going Down. Some anarchists report on a home visit to a CEO, during which cops had dropped by but didn't do anything except for apparently attracting some media coverage. Sounds like a good time was had by all. Later that day, quote, member of EQT's board and other shareholders were forced to go around a second demo while protesters chanted 1, 2, 3, fuck EQT, as they banged on buckets and scrap metal to make as much of a disturbance as possible. After the meeting, it was announced that McNally would be removed as CEO due to a successful proxy fight by shareholders who wanted to gain control of the company. Rest assured, we will be at their homes soon enough, unquote.
Florence, Italy, last hearings of the trial for the Panico operation, from Act for Freedom Now. A brief update on the trial for Giovanni, Pasca, and Salvatore, and a schedule of hearings for the three, who were transferred last month to house arrest.
Anarchist prisoner Luis Fernando Sotelo to be released, from It's Going Down. Another prisoner out, yay! From the statement from the Campaign for His Freedom, quote, since November 5th, when Luis was arbitrarily detained, even as the repression beat us again and again, los otros abogados and Luis, you all, us, we never gave up. Each time we resisted, with a legal appeal, a protest, and or the closing of the courthouse. In consequence, his sentence was reduced from long-term confinement that sought to rob him of his entire life to his upcoming release, unquote.
What's new with LBC, summer 2019? From Little Black Cart, some books, a slightly more search-friendly website, Chainsaw Fun, yay, Black Seed 7. This year, LBC slows down and gets a bit less consistent, but is still more reliable than any shoestring project could expect to be. Must be that CIA backing. Also, The Spectacle of Society is my entry for the year's most confusing, clever title.
Announcement and call for submissions. Oak, a journal against civilization. From It's Going Down. So, a new anarchist and anti-civ publication enters, or at least says it's going to, the field that is currently occupied primarily by Black Seed and Wild Reaction. This announcing submission call doesn't explicitly say what will make the new publication different in content from the existing two, but the following quote indicates a possible direction. Quote, there will always be lines to draw. Many of them are already drawn for us by the active overlords and domesticators. But many other lines are blurry at best, and given our context, meaningless at worst. Too many disagreements in the digital age end in snarky division articulated via electronic communication, a pathetic reality not worthy of our once wild selves, unquote. I look forward to watching the line this publication walks between worthwhile fights and pettiness, assuming it comes to exist, of course. Having an audio for every edition is a cool idea. Anon has already renamed this effort White Seed Journal. All credit to Anon.
Washington, D.C., a report from the anti-fascist mobilization of July 6th, from CrimeThink. Quote, on July 6th, fascists attempted to hold a demand-free speech rally in Washington, D.C. Anarchists and D.C. Black Lives Matter mobilized in response. Although the massive police presence hampered what anti-fascists could do, the fascist rally was not a success, confirming that anti-fascists have largely succeeded in thwarting the street-level fascist movement that many feared would emerge in the Trump era. The question, now, is how we can employ the tactics we have popularized in the anti-fascist movement, black blocs, deplatforming, in other movements and contexts, unquote. Also, thoughts and reflections on organizing and living in D.C., including multiple brief video clips.
Anarchist Comrade in Canada released, from Anarchist Black Cross. We're delighted to say that Cedar is out at least a couple of weeks before he was supposed to be released. No word in this announcement about the other two anarchists who were imprisoned at the same time.
The Flight of Fulvia Ferrari from Transmetropolitan Review. A biography of a Northern California anarchist who lived an exciting life in the early to mid-1900s, a time when things were popping, including Berkman's Blast, etc. The text is accompanied by a video by Perrinelle Flamel, or someone calling themselves that for the internet. This is a classic piece of transmetropolitan writing, historical, attenuated, dramatic, contextual. Perhaps more like fiction than like journalism, but isn't that true of most history?
Punky Maori Presente, from Madre Tierra. A memorial to Mauricio Morales, a.k.a. Maori, his death, and the media and police frenzy afterwards. Quote, the same night of May 22nd, from a news channel, appeared a crude interview of two alleged comrades of Maori, who with their faces covered and with distorted voices, would account for the plan of the comrade with an absurd and meaningless script. This is perhaps one of the most pathetic and pitiful passages, which serves as a barometer of hatred inspired by the figure of anyone who attempts, even at the risk of their life, to oppose those who dominate and their order, unquote. Again, quote, perhaps the beauty of that long day full of chaotic feelings is in the way of facing the death blow and the police hunt. Instead of silence, submission, and retreat, the response was resistance and offensive, expelling the press from the outskirts of the Sacco and Vanzetti squat, joining several comrades to build barricades and face the police attack. That is the beauty of confrontation. Just in moments where the powerful and their multiple characters yearned to see defeat expanded, the bold way to face that moment was the best propaganda of anarchy and companionship. Unquote.
Anarchist Place, STECI, of self-organized collectives of anarchist immigrants. From Act for Freedom in Athens, announcing a squatted center for anarchist immigrants, for self-organizing immigrants, with a collective cafeteria in solidarity with political prisoners and for education. Sounds like an info shop to me. Definitely in support of more squatted info shops. Quote, since the puppet of the Greek regime, Neo-Demokratia, have said they will clean up Exarchia, so our STECI as the first occupation since the existence of the new government is a big political slap in the face for them. With reference to the opinion of our injured comrade, even if you massacre all of us, you can't destroy resistance, and this is not a personal point, but is our collective point of view, unquote. Best of luck to these folks.
Audio and video. Anarchy Radio. An hour. John hosts. John gets mad at hippies. John gets mad at Ron Sikulski because Andre Breton was a communist. John gets mad at people who don't say the word love. See John run. One call from the always lovable Occupied Southwest Distro.
When the Rains Come Back by Caldwell Turnbull, an hour and 2 minutes. From the new website by Margaret Killjoy, wewillrememberfreedom.com. We Will Remember Freedom is named after an Ursula Le Guin quotation and is, or will be, comprised of audio recordings of short stories that Margaret likes, along with conversations with the authors. This first episode is read by Nightsy X. To me, the writing demonstrates the classic failing of political fiction, which is that it lacks any subtlety or richness, smashing one in the face with the politics and starving the fiction. Of course, it's always possible that I miss something.
Coffee with Comrades, Episode 52, Rural Rebels featuring the IAF FAI. 53 minutes of quote-unquote comrade and quote-unquote organizing, and the sound is pretty crappy, making especially one woman, apparently bad Salish girl, hard to understand. Fascinatingly, the person who is apparently going by the name The Green City extols the virtues of Facebook for rural activists, which I guess makes sense for an activist, still somewhat disorienting. That said, Green City at least seems like someone I'd be cool to hang out with. Anyway, best case scenario, you have a copy of the game Anarchy Bingo, and comrade is the winning word.
Anarchy Bang, episode Intentionality, 2 hours. This week we will be discussing intentionality. This is both intent toward a cause or action and your agency to act. You may want animals to have the full rights that any other citizen may have, intention, but no actual power to make that happen. Or perhaps you only have the power of uniting other citizens towards your same goals. Of course, we don't have such clear language. We have no citizens or power or unity we can rely on or even pretend we are a part of. How does this relate to intentionality? Does anyone care what we believe or how hard we desire the uncompromising freedom of all humanity? Do intentions even matter in a world gone mad or a world blowing away from human inhabitants? join in the conversation.
Reflections on Anti-Olympics Resistance in Vancouver from Embers, an hour. Episode starts with an overview of the relationship between Canadian Indigenous groups and anti-Olympic actions, which, even if inadvertently, brings up some interesting issues concerning what Indigenous sovereignty is and how it's viewed from the lens of tribal/state politics. The rest of the episode is an interview with a Vancouver anarchist, also concerning anti-Olympic actions. It's nice to hear from someone who has been living and active in one area for what sounds like at least a decade, if not two, as they describe changes in the city, how tactics responded to these changes, and a struggle for diversity of tactics. Tactics!
Topic of the week, effectiveness. How important is it to you that your everyday actions and life efforts are effective? How much do you care that anarchist actions in general are effective? I personally feel drawn to effectiveness as something I care about, and I thought about it more when I recently came across the following online critique of a recent anarchist action. Quote, "My heart burns for a dead comrade, and this is sort of propaganda of the deed, but he had to know how going it alone would end. And this is only going to result in more suppression and more security. Undocumented people are going to suffer because of this. We are powerless alone. We have to organize and work together. Doing this alone is an ego-driven decision. Your priority isn't liberation if this is your plan. And in a way, it's white saviorism. How could he could have joined his passion with others and connected with an organization that could help find safety for the people who are imprisoned if he could get them out. With comrades, with a plan, he could still be alive and people could be free who are still imprisoned." End quote. There seems to be an implicit assumption in this comment that having power, working together, being effective to bring about, quote, liberation, is the critical goal. I myself care about effectiveness. I don't want my actions in life to be, quote, meaningless or based solely on making myself happy. I'd love to firebomb the state if it meant that we could all be free. So what does that mean? So does that mean that we must organize and work together? Am I foregoing effectiveness if I am not necessarily interested in sacrificing my passions to organize with others? Is effectiveness important? Is it important for anarchists to be effective? Is it even possible for humans, anarchist or otherwise, to not fixate on what's effective in their immediate lives?
Well, you know, I think the first couple responses to this do provoke it in the direction that I probably would provoke it in, this question of effectiveness, which is basically to ask the question, what's the metric of effectiveness? What are the measurements of liberation? I do think that there are a couple different colliding underlying cultural topics that aren't really being discussed here, which is, you know, what does the author of the topic of the week mean by effective? And sometimes the second question would be, is it appropriate to talk about effectiveness in the context of a security state or in the concept of OPSEC or whatever in the hell? So to put it bluntly, you know, I've been involved in a publishing project for a long time, and the answer to the question of what we call effectiveness is really different than the answer to the question of what AK Press considers effective or CrimeThink considers effective. And so then this question of effectiveness, I think all three of our projects see ourselves and are concerned about effectiveness, but we all answer the question of what does that mean really differently. You know, I think that if you were to actually define effectiveness as like we've changed X number of minds or we've made, you know, sort of Y amount of impact on the world, you know, that would be a really different sort of answer than we want to do something and continue doing it and still derive pleasure from doing it. You know, all of those things are really different. And I would say that, you know, one of the big differences between, let's say, our project and our definition of effectiveness is it has to do with the individuals doing it. And over a 10-year period, we more or less have the same people doing the project, whereas I don't think that that's the case for a lot of other anarchist projects, as an example. So that long-term thinking is a kind of effectiveness that's really hard to see if you're on the outside. Your thoughts?
Sure. Yeah, no, I feel that. I mean, I think it's complicated because the quote that was given in the topic of the week doesn't speak to me at all. I guess I didn't feel drawn to what it, you know, what does it mean to be effective by being whatever, by reading that. I think it's relevant to the conversation we just had actually on Anarchy Bang about, what is the meaningfulness of this action? What did it look like? Could it have been done better?
Well, yeah. The author of this quote clearly it wants to make a criticism of the lone wolf, and they're doing it in sort of the context of effectiveness, making that criticism. Whereas I think that the idea of devoting any energy at this stage in a person's life or whatever, like the idea of criticizing someone who just killed them, had themselves killed, that to me seems like idiotic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess you could say not the time or the place, but I also think that the critique is just totally wrongheaded. I mean, unfortunately, I think if we're talking about effectiveness in any grand way, like the hard fact is that most anarchists are not effective at all. But I also don't think that that is necessarily a critique of what anarchists are trying to do in the world.
Yeah. How would you define effectiveness for yourself?
I would say setting goals and trying to achieve them in a way that looks reasonable to me. It's so complicated. I mean, I guess like there's a way of thinking about effectiveness as trying to change the world, even in a small way, that my actions do have effects on the world, and they're the effects that I would like to have in the world, is I guess how I would say how I gauge whether I am being effective or not.
Hmm.
So how about you?
Well, it sounds like your effectiveness, you're pretty interested in having a sort of low impact. I mean, part of the question when you say something like effectiveness in the context of you know, Wilhelm, who threw his body against the police and lost, you know, that person's defining effectiveness by essentially like doing things that are not consensual for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard line, I think, for a contemporary anarchist. You know, the idea of even throwing yourself against a cop and essentially forcing a cop to end your life, like, you know, I mean, it might not be a nice way to put it, but like you've decided to change someone's day. And especially if you're doing it in this sort of in a Pyrrhic way in the middle of the street, you know, sort of like putting yourself in a situation to get gunned down. I mean, yeah. But also let's talk about the other subtext, which is a critique of individual action. To basically say that the only role for individual action is to find other people to unite and not do individual action with. I'm really grated, like, as much as I might kind of agree with that, the other definition might be that effectiveness equals politics. And that I would have a very serious problem with also. In other words, this person is basically saying that if you're not working in a group, if you don't have, you know, the consent of three or four other people, then shut up and stop complaining. And that's not so nice.
No, I mean, it's pretty cold, especially given the context in which it's being said.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's, I mean, to me, obviously, it's very frustrating as well. And I mean, I guess it gets back to the question of what is having an effect on the world. look like? And to me, there are a lot of ways of doing that. And, you know, clearly the person who wrote this critique is thinking about big effects on the world and
politics.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to change the world. And Wilhelm thought he was changing the world and acted accordingly. And I can empathize with that. And I mean, but I think that it's one of those things where at the end of the day, you know, just because you disagree with him about what your change in the world looks like does not mean that he was discarding effectiveness or that this death did not have an effect on the world, whether it was the one he intended or not.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I continue to point on the button of politics here is because this idea that if you don't do politics in a particular kind of way, let's say in this particular context, that like if you actually want to impact the life of immigrants, how would you do that? To me, I feel like that question is a really insulting question, and one that basically, if anarchists ask it, they're probably demonstrating that they're on their way out of the anarchist space. Because this is a question that someone who's interested in statecraft asks, which is why I call it politics. But in Wilhelm's defense, you know, I would say that he wanted people to understand the spirit of what he meant by the music that he shared, by the words that he shared. And while I might agree with the critique that isn't necessarily like what I think we need in the world right now, I absolutely understand why most individuals, myself included, could be convinced that it's all that we're capable of. And that's the flip side of this, is like the idea of sitting in a meeting to talk about how we would protect undocumented people if we could get them out of the prison cells. Like those meetings are terrible.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it has to be said that the person who's making this critique, I mean, a lot of those meetings usually just end up in a lot of people with good intentions not being able to actually do anything, like stopping way before anything that looks like having a shootout with the cops or destroying one ICE vehicle. Like, a lot of that stuff just ends in totally not being effective because it's gotten bogged down in something. So whatever, as politics.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this might be the question for our time, though, because there's an awful lot of people who are going to argue pretty effectively that, you know, if you really want to make a long-lasting impact, if you want to be as inspiring as, for instance, you know, Os Casineros in France are, you know, with not only did their actions, you know, stop a prison from being built, perhaps even destroy a prison being built, but also destroyed any future iteration of that same prison from being built. You know, they literally disarmed a security guard and burned a construction project. That could only happen with multiple people involved. You know, there is perhaps something to be said about the fact that like until Americans solve this problem, we're not going to be able to accomplish much of anything in any context. Which is essentially a comma to say, not that the French really did any better. They just did some more inspiring actions to sort of like point out as like flags flapping in the future. But, you know, but I do think that we have a real problem in the American context where we're just so incompetent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. And I think, again, getting back to the Anarchy Bang conversation, I like this idea of like the Ocean's 11 or like, you know, some band of very accomplished thieves or what have you that are like really good at what they do because they've set out to do something, but they're also doing it out of passion and not really whatever. They're doing it for themselves or their group and are making a change on the world that way.
Yeah, it's hard to make those arguments for that kind of propaganda by the D, but also maybe, you know, is the future of anarchist action criminal or is it selfless? And that's a pretty central question, I think. You know, I of course would say that criminal action, I'm all for it. Do it. But I also don't feel like that's something that I'm going to do between now and the end of my life. And, you know, let 1,000 Bonneau gangs bloom.
Yeah, we can hope. I mean, it's also just the hard fact of doing selfless actions is really difficult. I have a hard time of imagining what an effective action that this critique is asking for that would look like breaking immigrants out of prison and hiding them effectively would look like at all in the context in which we exist right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially in the context of social media, where I mostly see anarchistic type people complain about how powerless they are and how many shifts of you know, Uber Eats they have to do today. I mean, it is hard to have that conversation in the context of this conversation because effectiveness is in short supply. Whether or not you're talking about helping out innocent imaginary people or whether or not you're talking about criminal conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, this podcast was sound edited by Lionel Mabel. What's New was written by Jackie and Greg and read by Chisel and Greg. No editorial this week. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week, effectiveness. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on ANews and or anarchy101.org.